The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome into episode 57 of Coffee and Shell. I'm your host, Sleeves, joined by my co-host, Padre and Kesso. And today we are going to talk about the real thing. We're going to put the game aside for a little while, and we are going to talk about some actual hockey. And this episode is dedicated to the Devils because they simply will never lose a game again. Now at 13 wins, the unholiest of numbers, they are currently just dominating and still somehow second in the league.
Dude, that was the ultimate jinx ever.
Oh, yeah. No,
I can't wait till you press publish on this and then they lose the next game.
It is going to be nuts. So at the time of this recording, they have beaten the Edmonton Oilers, and they have won 13 in a row. All right, fellas, so it's only been a day since, like, our last episode, so I feel like really nothing interesting happened in our lives, and, like, you guys are dads now, so I feel like there's not a lot of interesting going on anyways.
I mean, every day is interesting. GWC news. Yeah, we did. That's exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. We'll have a whole episode dedicated to that. Obviously, we did say no hockey ultimate team, and I opened with GWC. So,
hey, that's the real thing, too. That ties it in.
Okay, off the cuff, what is the most, not Devils related, okay? Something that is not listed on the left-hand side here, or right-hand side. Give me something you want to talk about, a topic that you find interesting. Go. Give Padre, you go first. First thing comes to mind.
NHL.
I gave you low hanging fruit here.
I don't know. What are you thinking?
The Blues rattling on me.
I don't care about that because I see it all the time. I think the biggest thing for me is like right now just to see like kind of what happens is with Shane Wright. Like I know
That's on the sidebar, bro.
Oh, it's on the sidebar. My bad. Well, that's like the one thing I'm just curious to see what happens. I feel like every day I've been texting like people about it and to see if like anything happens. But that's my biggest thing.
I think it's been interesting to see the. I know the Sabres won tonight as we're recording this. Yeah. They destroyed the Canadians like 7-2.
Yeah,
But they had that hot start.
Four goals in the first.
Yeah, they had that
the
hot
game.
Start. Then they're calling it like they're falling back down to earth right now.
They don't have a goalie.
Yeah, even then, like, I hope they turn it around.
It sucks because this is what they do, man. Yeah. Like, I'm living through this as a Sharks fan. They did so bad to start the season, but Carlson's on a 100-point pace, and James Reimer is too good of a goalie, and now Meyer is scoring. Like, the roster is too good to be that bad, and I think this is the worst place to be as a sports fan. Like, it is the absolute worst. You have no shot at a championship, and you have no shot at an impact player, at an immediate impact player.
Right.
And I think that, like, it is just absolutely brutal. And the Buffalo Sabres live in that. Like, because they always have a win streak at some point, like, where they tank, like, they just ruin their draft pick. Like, other than the Dahlin one where they won, and he looks incredible. Second in the league in defenseman scoring behind Erik Karlsson. He looks like he is now a bona fide player. Him and Power, like, are they not going to be the most dominant defensive pair in like a couple of years? Like I was watching the Leafs game. I want to bring this up. I'm watching the Leafs game, Owen Power is. I did not realize how big he is.
He's 6'6", right?
But it's like his. I don't know if he wears big shoulder pads. Or there's something, because he was, I remember he was in the corner against, I think, John Tavares, who's not a small guy, and it legitimately looked like video game stuff. I was like, oh my god, like, I just didn't realize it. Like, when you watch him, he's just massive, and he's just a kid, like, you know, like, he's it's going to be impressive to watch him and Dahlin cook for a while. So, let's get into the Devils. For 13 straight wins, the Fire Lindy chants were raining down at the Rock 3 games into the season. I believe they were losing 2-0 to Anaheim, and they ended up winning that game, and I think that started the win streak. Like, I can't remember for off the top of my head, but the amount, like, do you think locked into a playoff spot?
Yeah, I think they're too good right now. Like, I mean, obviously anything can happen, injuries can happen, but they're playing so good as a team. Like, they're like 3 good defensive pairings, solid depth on forwards. Like, I don't even think it matters who their goalie is. Like, they're just a really solid team.
Murdering the, like, analytics. Like, they are absolutely, I want to say they, I don't know if it's still the case, but they had the most shots on net or shot attempts and the least given up. And I don't know if that's ever happened in, like, the history of the league.
Yeah. I mean, just recently, I think Carolina's passed them up a little bit. I know Florida's pretty high up in that. But they're, like, top 3 in pretty much all the analytic categories, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's nuts to see. And we'll see. I believe they're dealing with some injuries, Padre.
Yeah, in the net, obviously Blackwood's out, but, like, kind of like Kessler said with Vanacek, you know, he's not, like, an amazing goalie by any means, but he's playing, like, fine and good enough and probably better than they expected. And they even got some games out of Schmid, their third-string goalie, when he came up. And that's when I thought the winning streak would go, you know,
would
belly up. But it's like, I don't know, dude. They're not the old Devils. They're not boring to watch anymore. And
this is
it's a little, you know, more exciting, you know?
This is why I was so frustrated with them over the last couple of years, because they have never, all of their draft picks, like their impact ones, were not ones that that their team earned, in the sense, like, they didn't win the lottery outright. Like, right. Last year, they got, because everyone forgets, they got Nemish, like, the best defenseman in the draft is a New Jersey Devil, and he isn't even playing yet. But they were good enough to not draft him, right? Hughes, they weren't.
He's gonna first be overall. Unreal too when he comes there. I was watching him this weekend at Michigan. He's gonna be. He might be the best Hughes by the end of it. Honestly.
Yeah, Luke. Yeah, exactly. Like, I wasn't even talking about Jack. Like, Luke. Like, all of the draft picks. Like, it's wild. I think Luke. They didn't win the draft. I think that was their one. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I don't think they moved up for
him. Is he the fourth overall? Off the top of
my head.
Was he fourth?
He was fourth. I don't think they moved up for him, but Jack, they definitely moved up.
God,
they
won the lottery for that.
Yeah, it's just, and same with Heischer. They weren't supposed to win that
one. He's really come into his own the last 2 years, I'd say. He looks like, now he looks like the, you know, he's a complete player. Jeff Merrick and all the time, our first big podcast guest right there. He was, you know, he always pumps his tires. He's like, when's he going to win the Selke? Like, it's any year now, you know, whenever Bergeron stops playing, you know, it's, he's impressive. He's real good.
But, like, that's, like, a thing. So, like, they were always getting these insane players, but they were never this bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, man, at some point, something's got to happen. I didn't think this would happen. I don't think anyone thought this would happen.
No.
But, yeah, so you're saying, Padre, do you think that they're locked into a playoff, like, team?
Yeah, my they always say it's, what, American Thanksgiving, you know? My thing is, like, dude, if you're 10 points up on the people in the wild card, you're kind of safe, unless you really just crap the bed.
That would be everyone.
Like, Vegas right now, like, I think they're safe. I think, obviously Boston.
I mean, we're talking about the New Jersey win streak. Boston's still first in the league.
Yeah.
That's absurd. Yeah. That's got to be, like, a stat that, like, I need ESPN stats and info. But, like, if you go on a 13-game win streak in the first, what, 16 games of the season, and you aren't in first, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's
I believe, going back to our predictions, I think we were all... no one predicted Boston to be first, but we were all, like, I think, like, wrong on the Devils. Like, I think Sleeves, you were, like, one of the people I was like, I think they'll be, like, good or, like, better or something. And I think I was like, no, I don't even think they'll make the playoffs because they're goaltending, which, like, I mean, we're 19 games into it. Let it play out. That's my big thing. Like, a week ago, everybody, I treated Frank Zervalli the other day because he was crapping on the Blues, like, 2 weeks ago. Well, they went on an 8-game winning streak, and they're in a playoff spot, and everyone now saying, oh, the Blues will make the playoffs.
You hate to see it happen, too, because you're like, it's not going to happen, guys. Stop living in, was it 2017?
Well, no,
you're like, stop living in the past.
Well, it was because of the Flyers game, and then they got killed against the Flyers, because everyone tries to make everything into, like, oh, well, they went there, and they got drunk at a bar, and they sang Gloria, and then they went on the win streak. Like, yeah, I just, like, tell people, like, move on. That's not why, like, the reason why I'll go on the Blues win streak in a minute whenever we're done talking about the Devils, but it's a whole different thing. But it's just funny to me. Like I said, it's a long season, though. You never know. I mean,
It's kind of sad to realize though. You're just saying like we're 20 games into the season. Season's already 25% over.
That's nuts.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Feels like we just started.
It goes by extremely fast. Let's get into some. Okay, so let's talk about some trends. All right. Let's talk about some trends. So obviously the Blues, we did not think they were as bad as they were. What did they start like? They
started 3-0. Then the Sod then, father, Brandon Sod, Pittsburgh native over there by Kesso. I shut him down when we were like peewees. I just think the guy's a Swiss Army knife. Like, he's a lot more important than people realize. He only has like 3 goals right now, but the way he plays with O'Reilly and getting O'Reilly's like the kind of guy that's like the engine behind the team. And when he was struggling, I think when Sod was struggling, and out of all people, they put Josh Olivo on their line, and that guy's been like a journeyman, but whatever reason, it works. Like, the whole line's changed. You know, Thomas and Kyrou have picked it up a lot. Kyrou was getting a lot of flack from that contract he got. Having a healthy Buchnevich has helped. But, I mean, the back end's been beat up. I mean, Krug's out now. Pareko has a back issue. I mean, it's been plug and play. And I don't know. Like, the teams just came together. They started playing Blues hockey, which is, like, get the puck in deep and just muck it up and get the puck on net. And I mean, it's a very simple, you know, style, and it works. And it's worked for years now with Berube. And, I mean, a guy like Noel Achary, which I know he tucked, like, 20 goals a few years ago in Florida. I mean, he's been one of our best players, and he was just kind of like an afterthought signing for a lot of Blues fans. And I mean, him, Shen, and Barbashev have made like a really nice identity line, is what Chief's calling them. And yeah, I don't know. And Bennington's been really good too. There was a lot of people saying like Nick Alberga, I know he was like hating on the Blues goaltending. I'm like, dude, if you watch, just, I always love these people that watch box scores. Like, like tonight, like people like to watch Buffalo and be like, oh, that team looks like they're turning the corner. Well, did you watch the game? No, I didn't watch the game, but they won 7 or whatever. It's like, dude, well, yeah, you didn't watch the game, though. It's like the box score, people crack me up because, you know, people see
it. I feel personally attacked here, Padre.
No, yours is shots. This guy will go on Twitter and say, like, oh, the Blues goaltending, like, they're going to need some help. And it's like, well, yeah, if you, like, look at the box scores, like, yeah, they're losing 8 games in a row. Well, go watch the games, and then I show you guys, like, those clips of Bennington having 4 backdoor goals. Oh, yeah, goals.
That one that you showed us. Yeah. It was one game, and it was literally four backdoor goals.
The backdoors were going on for, like, 3 or 4 games. And, like, everybody, like, the media was like, why? Like, the media was starting to ask, like, Berube, like, why are the backdoors going in? And he's just like, I don't know. I don't know why. Like, it's – and so that's what people don't understand. It's like, if you don't watch the games, you know, you don't get it. Like, somebody like Erik Karlsson right now, like, if they ask Sleeves, like, oh, like, what's – you know, why is he so good all of a sudden? I just see his stats going up. It's like, well – I mean, watch a game. Like, watch how dominant he looks.
No Brent Burns.
Yeah.
It's no Brent Burns. We'll talk about Karlsson in a little bit, too. But, yo, Seattle. Real deal?
I don't know.
7-2-1. I mean, we're going to box score watch with Seattle. There's one thing, though.
You have to box score watch with Seattle because they're the most boring team in the league.
And they play it, like, when we're all sleeping. Anyway.
Bro, the soul of Martin Jones.
Yeah.
Like, playoff Martin Jones. He's almost leading the league in save percentage.
Good goaltending goes a long way.
Could you imagine if that was the case a few years back?
I mean, dude, he dragged the Sharks to the Cup final. Like, dude, that year that they went against Pittsburgh, dude, that was the worst Sharks roster that they had in their 15-year run of making the playoffs, and he just dragged them to Pittsburgh. But good for him, because I don't know. It was all in his head. I remember him trying in the one offseason to try and change his goaltending style. There was a big article on it. He wanted to be more like Jonathan Quick, who's instead of being positionally sound, he's like, he relies on like reflex a lot more. I read this huge article. It was very interesting. I'm going to see if I can find it. But it was on, and I think I talked to you about this, Stewie. There was like the type of goaltenders who rely purely on their like
size.
Tim Thomas. Tim Thomas, Dominic Hasek, those kinds of goalies where, like, positionally, they're not, like, great. And then there's goaltenders that are, like, I don't want to say, like, system.
They rely on athleticism. There's guys that rely on their body. Yeah. Like, Devin Dubnyk was a big guy that would just rely on the puck kind of hitting him.
Exactly.
And just being in the right position. And I listened to
Jones puck. Jones would never make the huge Jonathan Quick type save, but he would just give up 2 or 3 goals maybe, but he wouldn't give up the bad ones.
Right.
And then there's one offseason, the one before Peter DeBoer got fired, it was after they lost to Pittsburgh. It was weird. He spent the whole offseason trying to like be more instinctive, and it just absolutely derailed his career. Like he became awful. His timing was terrible. He was letting in shots that just were no screens. Like it was so weird, but good to see him because Seattle it's good to see. It's good to see Seattle kind of come through.
How funny is it they have Grubauer after this year for another 4 years at like $5.9 million, and
I mean they have no other like salary.
That contract's so bad. I was a big Grubauer hater. Not like I don't think he's like a god awful goalie. I was just so like, man, that is gonna.
Did you see the picture of when they claimed Magnus Hedberg and Grubauer and net?
Yeah.
Dog. That was, if you guys haven't seen that, it's Hellberg in front. They're working on screens, and it legitimately looks like a mini-me.
You think that's like, bad? You should have seen me when I used to skate with Ben Bishop, when Ben Bishop's from St. Louis.
Oh, my God, the disparity between you two.
Yeah, and it's almost like the picture of me and Strong Ram Jackson at the All-Star game, when he's like 6'9", and I'm like 5'7". And when I was on my feet, I was as tall as Bishop when he was sitting on his knees. Like,
did you do the Dave Portnoy stand on your tippy toes to look taller?
Dude, there's no hope. If you meet Rammer in person, for anyone that follows the NHL video game knows who Sean Ramjackson is. If you meet him in person, unless you're 6'5", you're gonna feel real small. Like I remember at the GWC in 2019, we were in HyperX, and in the upper stage where you walked in before the grandstands, he was almost touching the roof.
Yeah,
like it was. I was like, "This is I
dude." He's like a giraffe. He's like when you go to the zoo, he literally looks like a guy.
you can
just see him everywhere you go. Like he's huge. And but no, going back to the Kraken though, I don't know. I just feel like the Oilers are going to...
They remind me of the Blues, man. They have all second liners.
Yeah, I just feel like they're going to get passed up by the Oilers, though. It's just, like, almost inevitable.
Yeah, there's... Yes.
Like, I feel like McDavid and them are just, you know, they're just on it. We were just talking about this for the podcast. They're just absolute heater, him and Draisaitl. Like, one of the best dynamic duos ever, possibly. Like, I mean, they're unbelievable.
We went back and looked at some stats, Kesso, on Draisaitl and McDavid. They are at like 1.6 point per game pace over like the last like four seasons, and it's like not close. Like it is absurd that I mean they made the conference final, but they got crushed. So like it kind of like they didn't make the. I don't know, like you know what I mean. We won the same amount of games as they did in the conference final, but yeah, it's staggering. But the thing about talking about the Oilers. Dude, Jack Campbell, off the rails now. Puck hit him when he was benched, drilled him in the nose, broke his nose. Like, first of all, that's got to suck. Painful. And you can't play through that, I'm assuming.
It'd be tough to breathe.
Yeah, like, you would just be like, you're... Yeah, because like when you had your chin on it, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like,
I never had any calls like that. Like... And, like, in youth hockey, they always made us wear our helmets on the bench and stuff, like, as goalies, we backed up. But, yeah, that's like, the old fear, I guess, of the people that always tell you to put on your helmet if you're sitting on the bench or something when you're a kid. But, man, that's a tough – he just has no luck so far. I feel bad for him. He seems like a great guy. I watched that Amazon Leafs documentary. Yeah, it was, like, really cool. And he just seems like such a – like, down-to-earth, appreciative of where he's at, because he went through, you know, like, hell and back pretty much with his career, and just the teammates loved him in Toronto, and, I mean, you go from one media hotbed to, I mean, any Canadian city's, like, brutal to play in, probably.
He let in one bad goal against Montreal in Game 7, and, like, there's no one on that team that can battle through that, and it just
if I was sucks. Him, and I know the money's, like, where you go, like, kind of go, and, like, the team, and, like, the Oilers are good, like, obviously, offensively, but... I would have went somewhere nice and quiet and just kind of wrote out my contract and, you know, maybe like Washington instead of Kemper, you know, because he was like the hot goalie on the market this summer. You know what I mean? He was the number one.
Yeah. No, absolutely. last couple of things, we'll bring up a couple other teams in terms of trending. Toronto back now in second, but they lose Morgan Riley for what seems like a long time. And is Muzzin back?
I think he was like skating like or something I saw the other
day. Yeah, like dude, like their defense is not a decor that can handle long losses of like their top four.
Right.
And so like that'll be interesting. Hey, man, I got a defenseman for you, let me tell you. I mean, you want to figure out a trade, Leafs. I mean, come on, you love $1 million players. But Tampa too. Dude, Tampa had such a bad start and Vasilevsky is still awful right now. Like, I believe at the time of this recording, it's over 3 goals against per game. And they're back into third place in the Atlantic. I think, like, Ottawa, man. I think that's the last one where you guys start. We talked about – I brought this up that in hockey, more than any other sport, when you make a ton of changes, it seems to be the one sport where, like, it requires so much gelling, you know, that you don't see like on paper, where like on paper editions can't like fully quantify what's going to happen. And every time that there's teams where they add in a ton of new guys, it just doesn't seem to work out well. The Sharks pumped them. But again, that's a box score thing. They won, I believe, 5-1. I watched the first two periods. Dude, Ottawa crushed them. Like, it was, I think the shots in the first period were like 16-4, and somehow San Jose was leading after one. Like, it was not indicative of how it went, but it just looks like they're fighting everything right now. And do we think Ottawa bottom five?
Bottom five in the division, right? That's what you're asking?
No, bottom five in the league at the end of the year.
I don't think so, but I still think like bottom like 10-14.
Yeah, I don't think bottom five. I think they always go on like those like weird win streaks at the end of the year because they're all a bunch of like young guys still, and then like I think they'll pull themselves out. But I was gonna say DeBrincat. I know in the beginning of the year when he first got there, they were talking about like long term extensions with him and stuff. And I think now he's probably like, thank God I didn't sign a long-term extension here, because he's not – I mean, it's some on him, obviously, too. You got to produce, right? But it's not a fit so far. And being an American player, another example, do you want to sign a long-term deal in Canada? You know, there's plenty of places that'll have him, you know, guy tuck 40 goals. You know, he has a great shot. Like, he could play in a lot of places next year. But now what I wonder is, you remember they gave up a haul to get him at the draft – are they going to give up? Are they going to get a haul in return if they trade him at the deadline? Because I mean, he's, you know, if
his contract's up at the end of the year.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, do you just flip him back again? You know, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting to say. Like, obviously, Josh Norris going down doesn't help their season, but I feel like this is more than Josh Norris. You know, it's kind of been a thing where this has been like Ottawa the last few years. I feel like DJ Smith's definitely on the hot seat, as much as like I know they like him there. Brady Tkachuk tells me he loves him and stuff like that when I've talked to Brady about it. It's just, I don't know. I just feel like when you're losing like this year after year after year, there's got to be somebody to change. And they've locked up a lot of these young guys. So I don't know. I don't see a lot of it changing. But by the way, real quick on that Muzzin thing, it wasn't Muzzin that I thought was skating. It was Brody. So Muzzin's out to like February. Brody skating. Yep. Still, the Leafs are, I mean, their blue line's a disaster right now, but they have an awesome offense.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Ottawa, I think it's that's real. That team cannot, it's a lot like the Sharks. Ownership can't afford like them to be bad again. And they have a whole ownership thing.
Real quick, let's do our bottom five projection right now, since we're like talking about will they be bottom five.
I mean, it's pretty, dude, it's pretty evident. Like, it's now starting to become it. Like, without looking in order, like, I would have said Columbus now because they've
lost. I agree. Everybody. Columbus, I agree. Okay.
Anaheim because their roster was already bad and they lost like Drysdale. Like it's a shell.
Yeah.
And then Chicago because they are evidently tanking.
Yep. You have Arizona.
Arizona's an AHL team. And then the last one, I really thought it would be, I cannot believe that Vancouver roster does not figure it out. Because dude, the way they're losing, it's not like they're getting blown out. Like they're like, I mean, God, the first five games of the season, they lost them all. In every single game, they had a double digit lead, right? Like that's in between.
I think they're going to fire Boudreaux too.
So do I.
And they just extended him this past year. But what I heard is, I asked around a little bit and people are like, yeah, it wasn't the GM that hired him. It was the owner that hired him. Like he wanted him.
Oh.
And that just doesn't work, like, a lot of times. It's usually, like, the GM has to go hand-in-hand with the, you know, the coach and that kind of thing. That's why, like, I think you see with, like, Dubas and stuff like that in Toronto, he has such, like, a long leash with, like, because Keefe's his guy, obviously, from, like, the OH. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just interesting. Yeah, I agree. I think I agree with everything. Maybe I would take out Anaheim for either your Sharks or Buffalo.
No way. Yours, even after Drysdale?
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I just feel like, I bet the team that has like the most like young like skill, like they always go on,
they're
those.
They're gonna lose Klingberg.
But here's the thing too, crazy thing. Anaheim hasn't won a game in regulation. Every game's been in overtime. That's crazy. Like I didn't realize that till today when I was listening to the podcast. And by the way, going back to Buffalo real quick, because I just think about bad like toilet bowl teams. But I listen to Craig Rivet and Andrew Peters' podcast, The Instigators, and I don't know why I listen to it because I'm not a Buffalo fan, but I like to listen to podcasts sometimes.
Dude, they're bringing back memories, man. I love watching.
Yeah, and they're funny, they're interesting, they're blunt. Like, I wish in St. Louis we almost had a podcast like that with former players where they're just kind of like, the team sucks right now, and this is why. And it's kind of funny, like, listening to, you know, like, since they played, they haven't been good. And he's like, you know, like Peters was saying, like, they haven't been good in like 10 years. They've been in the same spot, which is what you guys kind of said earlier. Like, they always pick from like the same kind of area. And he's, you know, he was just talking about, he blames the Pegulas, the owners. He's like, you know, the team is just, they thought they could, you guys remember this, like the Billy Lanos, the Christian Ehrhoff.
That's what I'm saying. Every time they see, like, dude, what was crazy is that, like, back in the mid 2000s when I lived there,
yeah,
dude, Darcy Regier had no money to spend. Like, so he had to, you know, nickel and dime every single contract that he had to make that team good. Like, Drury and Briere should not have been, like, superstars, but they were in Buffalo, and they made it work. And then the second the Pegulas took over, they started spending money. And every single time that they have spent money, I mean, Michael Samuelson, I believe?
Yes.
They signed that big deal. But apparently, like,
he is, like, it's a weird signing, but from what everyone tells me in Buffalo, they're like, that's going to be a good deal. Because
he's hurt.
Yeah, he's hurt.
Like, it's like every time.
Yeah.
Every time that they spend money, it blows up in their face. For sure. And, you know what I mean? Like, that's unfortunate.
In the free agent market, right. Yeah, it's...
Exactly. Like, that, they've killed themselves.
It's funny.
Like Okpozo.
Yeah, like, it's funny, too. They talked about the Buffalo Bills, and they're like, apparently that Brandon Bean, their GM, and McDermott were kind of like, stay... Like, because the Pegulas on that team, too. Like, leave us alone, and we'll take care of the football stuff. And look at how good the Bills are.
Yeah.
the Bills are great. That city deserves it. But before we get any further, guys, we got to give a shout-out to the sponsor of our podcast, Gamer Saloon. If you are looking to get into wager matches for really any game or NHL, make sure you check out gamersaloon.com. They also have Power Hours, where they'll give away free $10 wager matches. And again, check that out at the link down below. All right, guys. Let's talk. So Elliot brought this up on Hockey Central, and over the last like 3 weeks, like, what Carlson's doing is essentially the Carlson they signed. Carlson has never done this. People think that he has been terrible. And again, this is box score watching. The year that they got him, that team was the best Sharks roster they've ever had. And when Carlson was playing great, and they were the best team in the league, even on top of, for like an 8 week span, over that 123 point Tampa team. It just, then everyone got hurt, including Carlson. And he's gotten hurt almost every single season. He's missed like 20 games. And it just looked like the only way the Sharks are going to get out of that contract is if he retires. No one ever could have prognosticated a 100 point season and him looking like every single time he touches the puck, it's like a little bit of luck, but you see there was a play. Benning scored a goal. Benning's not very good, but it got fired up the boards, and Carlson had his stick jammed in the boards and let his skate like kind of behind him, and it kicked off of his stick right to Benning at the point. And it was like, I was like, dude, that's a Joe Thornton type of pass. Like, he is just on it right now. And then Elliot started tweeting. I saw some tweets from the Sharks beat reporters about, like, you know, Greer's open to the possibility of trade. Well, like, no shit. You know, like, if they have an $11.5 million player who is not going to return his value, he's got 4 more years, like, obviously they're open to trading, right? But then Elliot brought up the fact that, like, it's a thing. Like, it could be a thing. What do you think the percentage that Erik Karlsson actually gets moved?
I think it's like 20, just because how difficult is it? How many years does he have left?
It's got 4 after this one. It would have to be one of the first, I believe, of its kind, which would be a double buyout or double retain. So the Sharks retain a little bit. Another team's involved, Arizona. They retain like another little bit, and then the other team gets something, and the Arizona would get, like, you know, a draft pick,
yeah,
or, you know, something.
Yeah, but how much? So, like, if that's the case, though, that's 4 more years at retaining salary. The team that would you'd have to give up such a massive haul for that. Wouldn't you?
What do you mean? Like, the Sharks would?
No. The team that eventually lands him.
Oh, if they, because, like, again, the max that you can retain, it would be half of the contract.
Yeah. So that would be, so it'd be 25 paying each, right, for the Sharks. And then in this instance, so that'd still be what, like 2.8 per team?
100%. So what's crazy was, before Ottawa was like absolutely just falling apart, at the beginning of this, like a couple weeks ago, like Ottawa made a lot of sense because they have a lot of prospects. They need to win now, and a, you know, reunion of it. I don't think Erik Karlsson wants to go back to Ottawa, because especially how it ended with Hoffman and his wife. But it's not like they didn't have a life there.
I think they still have a house there.
Like, it's impossible. Yeah, I think they still have a house there. It's not that isn't the same as someone going to Ottawa when they've never been there. Like DeBrincat, it's not the same as DeBrincat. So that made a lot of sense, but now I don't see how Ottawa can give up future assets for Erik Karlsson at 30, 32. Like, he's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
He's just, you know what I mean? Like, this is not someone who's had freak injuries. This is a guy who has a bad groin, a bad ankle, and he can't, like, you know, he's still a magician on the breakout and in the offensive zone, but he's so soft in the defensive zone. And eventually, like, he's going to either play himself or getting hurt, because he's the removal of Brent Burns made this all possible. And I said this before the season. I think that the thing that was hurting Karlsson the most as a Shark is that they had Brent Burns. It was a right-handed shot, and Burns had 30 minutes a night, and they couldn't play in the same pairing. So now that you have, like, an alpha on the back end that is a puck mover, when they both were, it makes it a lot better for him. But
so here's my question for you, though. Like, let's say hypothetically, because, like, I'm, you know, trying to figure out what his value is, because you have to add that onto a trade. If he hit the free agency market today, Erik Karlsson.
Free agency?
Let's say, no, I know he can't for 4 years. Let's say he did. What do you think a contract for him would be? Injury after risk this season? After this season. Injury risk is there. He's obviously older than, you know, what you would probably desire. Like, what do you think a fair value would be?
Fair? What do you think he would
what
get?
What do you think? Market value.
I think he would get eight.
Do you think he would get eight?
If you have he might hit 100. Like, he is.
I think that re-injury risk is so high. Like,
it is.
Yeah,
we're saying that he doesn't get injured.
I think he gets 6.5, and I think that'd be an overpayment probably, because I think in the back end of the deal, like, I was listening to Andy Strickland today talk with Tim Peel about this exact topic, and even Strick was like, yeah, like, you know, this year he's awesome, right? But, like, what about 2-3? Like, you don't even know. It could be next year. I mean, it's just so random, and he could be, you know, back to not like he was god awful or anything, but it's just, you know. I mean, who knows? I mean, that it's a risky thing because of the injuries he had with it, because, you know, like, it's all lower.
Because he was never, like, a great skater.
Right. It's all, like, lower, like, body. So it's, you know, it's, you know, once
he
you.
He was at the beginning part of his career, but then he had an ankle injury, right. I believe.
Once you, like, lose your lower half, it's, or, you know, it deteriorates. It's tough.
So in this instance, then, we're assuming, like, at least two firsts, right? That's, like, the starting conversation.
Oh, man, if it's double retained, that's something different, because then the Sharks would probably get something too. Like, because this is the type of deal that hasn't, like, happened yet in the NHL.
Yeah.
Because it would have to, because there's no way the Sharks could retain enough. And if they don't, the team get, like, because if you guys both just set his thing at 6.5, let's pretend that the other general managers are like that. There's no way the Sharks would make a trade unless you're getting, oh, man, like, you're getting, like, because they have so much dead money already. They're retaining Burns. They have, I believe, $2.2 million on Burns for another two seasons, and then they have Martin Jones's buyout, and Vlasic is getting bought out.
Yeah.
So they're gonna have, like, a, you know, $8 million in retained or ten.
The longer they hold on to him, though, they're only hurting themselves. It's the thing. Like, the Sharks, it's so weird this year. They're not an awful team. Oh. Only due to a few players.
Hey, this is the year, though, Kesso. Like, what you just said, the longer they hold on. If I'm doing it, I'm doing
they
it.
They can't
year.
Get rid
everyone,
of this is the
everyone. You
thing.
Have to do it this year. You have to do it as soon as you everyone. Can. Like, once another injury happens or something, like,
yes.
all Leafs, those possibilities
Ottawa,
are off
what,
yeah,
Blues.
Once, I mean,
I go down there's like probably 10, 15 teams that are looking for a defenseman right now. It's crazy.
I was reserved to the fact that the only way Karlsson is gone from the Sharks if he retires because of injury.
Yeah.
And that's a real possibility, right? Like, he just might be like, okay, that's it. It is the only way the Sharks would ever get out of that contract. No one would have thought that he became Karlsson again. This is better than his best season, right? Like, he's just absolutely going off. And the fact that he has done that, if Greer can, I was saying this on stream, if Greer can pull this off, that is a Doug Wilson level deal. Like, and again, like, I've talked about how Doug Wilson, in my opinion, is one of the best general managers, like, in the last, like, two decades, because of, you know, obviously he didn't win a cup, but he stayed dominant for 20 seasons, and that he swung for the huge things. If you can get out of Erik Karlsson after you inherited that, like, that's insane. And they need to get bad. But the problem is, like, I don't know, because, like, ownership can't want Carlson's contract, but ownership also can't have empty stands. And it's like, they can't be losers. Like, if they lose Karlsson right now, Dude, their defense is Matt Benning.
Dude, just deal with it. I'm sorry. It's way more valuable long-term. Like, that's what I hate about some of that thinking, though. It's way more valuable long-term to just suck for a couple
years. Is their owner rich? Like, all owners are rich. But, like, do they have a one guy that's, like, super rich? Or is it multiple people? Like, how is their ownership?
So Blattner. It's one guy. Okay. So it's, like, I'm assuming. Like, I'm sure every ownership
and like, has a and he's, like, super rich. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Like, he has made it where it's, like, we're not doing a full rebuild. They've stated
that. Well, if he's super rich, then he can handle a rebuild. He might say it because he's just trying to save face publicly. But, like, the Blues, for example, like, it'd be tough for them to rebuild with...
Part of me thinks, so I went out to San Jose in March, and it's kind of jarring because for the city of San Jose is incredible. Like, you go down to, like, I don't remember the names. I don't want to say Santa Monica, but that's not that. There's a place about three blocks away, and it's, like, they're downtown, and it's incredible. Like, it's an absolutely beautiful place. It's always 75 degrees. Like, it is nuts. But there's about a block surrounds it on all sides where it's, like, foreclosed garbage. That is getting renovated, and like the whole block is being turned into just a bunch of stuff. And I'm wondering if like they're trying to sell that, and if the team is terrible, like wonder if that makes it harder. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of some blocks here.
But I have no idea. I don't know if that's correlated.
He's worth
but still.
$7.7 billion. Okay, mm-hmm. They're fine. They can rebuild.
You're not telling me, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm annoyed by this.
No, no, no. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying I think they'll rebuild because that's a lot of money.
I think that they have no choice.
Yeah.
They tried again this season. Greer went out and signed an entire bottom six and whatever.
Yep.
And it's not going to work. And the Meyer contract. I think more interesting the Carlson trade. If the Meyer, because like they're going to have to decide. They signed Hurdle for 8 years. They're gonna have to give Meyer like the same kind of thing for like $9 million, and that's a because if they do that, like they have to keep going.
Yeah, that sucks,
like you have to because like you know the problem is with the Sharks is like their contract situation is so bad.
Dude, what sucks is that like those guys are great players, but they're not like foundational like franchise players, right? That you're forced into paying the $8 to $9 million.
Hurdle is a top five second line center in the league, borderline first line center, right? Like, and like that borderline. And Meyer is probably a bottom 15, like right wing, like on most, like if you lined up the best right wingers, right? Like Meyer's probably around 15th.
All I know is he fires like, yeah, the puck, right. And I like him for that reason. But
dude,
yeah,
he is. Well, he just releases that biscuit. That's all he does.
I mean, you could still like re-sign Meyer, and you know. And do like a rebuild like on the fly type of thing. I mean, look at like LA, and I'm not saying that like their rebuild was like kind of relatively quick. You know what I mean? And you can get a relatively
they drafted
right, really right. But I mean, well. But honestly, look at who on their team from their draft. If you think about it, though, who has made
well, their back end? It was Durzi and that because they back
right,
end,
but he went, but those guys weren't picked.
And Mikey Anderson. No, that's what's crazy. That those guys.
Turcotte's done nothing. Byfield's been rather, you know, okay. Like
Vilardi,
whatever.
Finally.
Vilardi, yeah. Out. Vilardi stepped up. But if you look at it's like their signings. You know what I mean? Like they brought in Arvidsson in a trade. They signed Fiala. Deneau's been awesome. Yeah. So it's like you don't know. I mean, the Sharks, I could see them, like Kesso said, get rid of Carlson and, you know, sign Meyer. He's only 26.
He's 26.
The
yeah.
one,
yeah,
yeah
so
the one, the
you know, I don't know.
I didn't like this at the beginning because it's hard to watch the Sharks. It's very weird. I've never been through this as a sports fan, really. Like even because as a Red Sox Patriots fan, I've really never seen them been awful for an extended period of time in my life. But like the Sharks, like I want them to lose, but when I'm watching, I don't want that. Obviously, like I, you know what I mean. Like I want to see them dominate. I want to see them make the playoffs, all that. But it's not realistic expectations. And when you don't make the playoffs, what you want to see is hope, right? The problem is that, like, all of their kids are in the AHL, and they finally have a really good prospect group, and they're not letting them touch the NHL. And at the beginning of the season, I was like, man, like, come on, give me something. And now I'm like, man, if they can get rid of all those guys, spend a lot of money on a couple of big free agents, again, that would be a huge, brutal, like, you know what I mean? Like that. But if that's rebuild-wise, right? Like, we just talked about DeBrincat. You know, they like signed to DeBrincat.
You guys need D. You guys need D.
Eklund, yeah, the defense is really.
You need a goalie. A goalie and D.
Vlasic's the worst part of the team. Like, he is an AHL level defenseman that's making $7 million a year for another four seasons. Like, is way worse than Carlson. So that's a buyout because I believe it drops drastically.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, anyways, enough about the Sharks. That was a lot of it.
Yeah, let's talk about a team that is kind of like the Sharks that doesn't reveal. Kessler's Penguins and Malkin hitting 1K games. Yeah, and another guy that was, it. I mean, people thought he was gone this summer. I mean, that was like a real thing. I talked to Chad Ruedel. He lives in St. Louis. He's one of the Penguins defensemen. And like, he gave me a little insight, like, in the team group chat. And he's like, we thought he was gone. Like, it was coming down to like the 11th hour. I think Malkin had his feelings hurt a little bit in the summertime. And
yeah, that's
but it's okay.
It
he
like.
Came back.
Yeah, we were talking about before we pressed the record. It was awesome seeing that video they posted. Nikita, his son, reading the starting lineup, and then Malkin was crying. And then I'm sitting in my room working, but like, I'm on my phone and I'm crying a little bit because, you know, just growing up watching him. He still looks good. Love to see it. So we were talking also about that centennial season, right? They released the top 100 players. Malkin was snubbed on that list. It was a very popular snub. Like, people still bring it up. And Taves was like, you know, top 40 or something at the time, because I think this was after
such a bad,
three cups.
I'm in a minority. I'm not a big Taves
fan. I think I can't.
It's the cops.
I don't know about him as a person or whatever.
Cops, man.
If you replace Taves on that team with Malkin, they win 3+2. You know,
probably,
it's like Malkin might go down as the most underrated player of all time, and that's just because he was behind Crosby his whole career.
That's it. Yeah, I was gonna say it's Draisaitl, dude.
Yeah, exactly. It's gonna be the same exact thing. Plus, like, a European player, a little bit more like timid, I guess, like not as like into the publicity stuff.
Not outspoken.
But it's kind of funny though, because if you look at like Crosby and McDavid, they're both like not the greatest media personalities. Like McDavid has the most awkward pictures
awful,
ever
man.
Taken of him.
He gets himself in so much trouble by trying to not cause trouble.
Well, yeah, it happened like, with that Team Canada thing whenever he had that quote, right? Like, he doesn't
awful.
Yeah. But yeah, back to Malkin. I mean, it's great to see. I'm so glad he's going to finish his career as a Penguin, unless something crazy happens and he signs a deal after that. And they're turning it around a little bit. I think they have like a three-game win streak right now? Maybe it's two, I forget. So they just reunited. For some reason, they put Raquel back to the second line a little bit whenever Guentzel came back, but they have Guentzel, Crosby, and Raquel back together, and that's one of the best lines in the league, I think, right now. Raquel's been awesome. So they'll continue to do well. I feel pretty strong and confident about them continuing this.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine. Like, they'll definitely. I mean, the Islanders look good too. Man, the Metro is pretty crazy.
Oh, there is one more team I wanted to bring up though, because I'm surprised at their record, and I think they'll be fine. And that's the Florida Panthers. You guys, I don't know if you've watched any of the games. I haven't, so I do want to ask. They're getting like 50 shots a game. Their underlying like advanced stats are really good. They're just losing games.
I have only watched one Panthers game, but again, I think you lose, like, adding Tkachuk is still, but like losing your two of your three best players probably after Barkov, like, that's gotta be an adjustment.
Yes.
You know?
So,
like, I feel like, you know, like, that's gotta be tough and take some time. And not to mention, it's so much of a different player.
Well, and Ekblad's only played like 8 games too, so I think that's been like an issue. Obviously, I mean, like, he's a number one for them, so it's tough with Ekblad. And I mean, obviously, I mean, Bob hasn't been playing as good as, you know, that contract
is going to be what cost them a cup.
Yeah, I said the second it was signed or like made, I was like, that's the dumbest one. Yeah,
it's just like they needed to win and they needed a big splash because like that's not a team that can't just afford to always be bad. I'll always respect the team for going for it.
Yeah,
like I think that the people that famously what Columbus did. When I think it was Duchesne, they were all free agents, and Kekalainen was like, "Nope, we're going for it." Like, and they weren't anything special. Like, they were not like, you can never give them crap about that. And I think Bob was like the, because they tried to land Panarin too. Like, it was
apparently they were until John Davidson got in the way with the Rangers, yeah. and obviously his ties with Columbus. I mean, I think with the Florida thing too is. Like Bob, that was like Dale Talon just trying to save his butt before he got fired too.
Yeah, that too.
But
I'll say this: like Quinn, I think that I said this before. Obviously, Quinville deserved to be fired 100%. Needs to be suspended for a year or however much long for his involvement in what went on in Chicago. I think that Florida gives Tampa a run and maybe like they win like. I think that them having a rookie coach. With the team that they had, really hurt them when they got down against Tampa, and I think that that was pretty tough.
Obviously.
They'll be fine.
We got to bring up since like it's kind of fitting with Florida. Huberto returned obviously with Uyghur, and pretty cool like him and Barkov. Barkov saw some puck down the ice, and he buried one in the warm up, and the fans went nuts, just like old times. And Huberto scores the game winner in the shootout. Now it's time to it's so early still. I mean, we're only like 20 games in the season altogether, but revisiting that trade and just, early reactions to it. I mean, I definitely think like you guys were kind of saying, like, I think like losing Uyghur actually hurt the most maybe. Cause that's like where 100%. That's like where they were like weakest on Florida. But I think in the long term, like Matthew Tkachuk is just, he's just so good. He's such a gamer. And I think they, for like the playoffs, like you're going to notice Florida, like and if they make the playoffs, like I think they will. And apparently, I was like reading some stuff today with Duclair returning soon. They're gonna have to like, I mean, they've been playing like when Ekblad was out. They played a game like down a guy. Like they're right there on the cap, so they're gonna have to trade like a Duclair or a Bennett or a Reinhardt just to like kind of alleviate some of that money issue. But the thing I was saying though, kind of about like the Tkachuk is, I just think he's just such a gamer in the playoffs. I think that's like a better move for them right now. And like Huberto, you're kind of seeing like, yeah, he put up 115 points, whatever. But you kind of see, like, when Daryl Sutter's like, I want you to play this way because this is what won me cups in L.A. and this is what, this is what wins. I mean, he's on the third line right now. And I don't think people it's an adjustment. The guy's driving his Lamborghini to the rink. Now he's driving, a pickup truck. He's got to play for Daryl Sutter.
Lunch pill,
it is cold out there right now, too.
It's a whole different life. And I always say, like, the first year of a guy going, like, that was somewhere for a long time, like, just give him a year. Like, I watched Falk here and
say, hockey's is so much different than all the other sports. Like, we're going to talk about nostalgia and, like, the changing of what, because that was brought up in the comment section.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like in the NFL, when a mass player are changed, like, it's very position-based where, like, they can excel and do their job. It's not relying on chemistry as much. Receivers and quarterbacks, yes. But, like, most positions when there's a lot of turnover, it's not as bad. Hockey, like, it's so fast that you don't have time to like not know where your boys are at, Yeah. And I think that like just what you alluded to, like same thing with like Ottawa, we brought up it earlier. Like it just takes a lot of time to get those big, like, And you look at the Calgary roster and like when they separate Huberto and everyone, like, dude, they have a deep team.
He's still getting almost 20 minutes a game on the third line because like I was following.
Yeah.
That
oh yeah, so he's getting all.
It was demoted or whatever, but right. Like he has 4 points in 5 games. It seems to be working out. I know it's not the 115 point pace that he was on last year or whatever, but
it's just telling because what he's doing, Sutter. He's trying to put him with like Dubé and Coleman and like he's not putting him with Lindholm and Kadri. I mean, he has played with them. Obviously, it's just funny because. I mean, he's not going to get anywhere close to 115 points. I think everyone knew that kind of beginning.
He got the bag, though.
Oh, so for sure. Like,
it doesn't matter. Hey, I've seen a workout where you sign a player and your superstar's on the third line whenever we put Kessel on the third line with Bonino and Hagelin.
When you cut.
So, like, maybe that's the Huberto, Backlund, Coleman line or something. I don't know, but it could work out.
Yeah. Dude, that line stepped over the boards with Brandon Dillon and Rowan Pollock, and it was literally 3 minutes. Dude, I hated watching.
It was so
that,
unfair because that was your third line. Like,
it was bad. Okay, we mentioned this earlier too about American Thanksgiving. There's a big stat. I think it's like 80%. You have an 80% chance in the NHL if you are in the playoffs by American Thanksgiving. I believe American Thanksgiving is coming up. I'm a Canadian. Leave me alone. It's been a while since I've lived in the States.
It's in 2 days. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, so the East is very interesting because I see two somewhat – Detroit is currently in a wild card spot, but it's what's outside. So Montreal is 3 points back of a playoff spot, and then it's Philly and Washington. Washington looks like no Backstrom and the Kemper signing is just not working out. So let's assume that – no, I mean, we're in agreement that Montreal and Philly are not making the playoffs?
Oh, yeah, I'm in agreement
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they won't make it.
Apologize, Habs fan, but, like, let's be real. I'm going to get so much hate for that. Florida, Pittsburgh are on the outs. The Rangers and Detroit are in the wild card spot.
Yep.
We just said we think Florida's going to make the playoffs.
Yep.
So who falls out? Detroit?
I think it's Detroit. Yep, I think it's Detroit.
Okay, do you think – what's crazy to me is do you think Pittsburgh makes it?
Yeah.
Okay, who do they take out? The Islanders?
I think the Islanders can fall out. I even think the Rangers can. I know. I'm always anti-Rangers.
I'm with you, man. I said this last year that they overachieved because they had one of the best statistical goaltenders in the history.
Chris Kreider had an amazing year, 50 goals. It's not happening this year. Like,
maybe it is the Rangers. Man, the Rangers not making the playoffs would be so bad for that.
I feel like the goalie's too good that he'll somehow.
It is. That's what I'm saying. Like,
I feel like it's just going to be a three-way battle with Pitt, Florida, and the Rangers, and you know what I mean. Like, I don't know. It's just
Toronto survive that decor collapsing because of injury, and then it's Murray and Samsonov and
Chalgren.
Yeah. It's like. That isn't guaranteed, even with Austin Matthews.
Like, I feel most comfortable with Boston, Tampa, Carolina. I know the Devils are so far ahead. You just never know with hockey. It's the weirdest thing. I mean, I never thought the Blues would go 0-8. Like, you know, I don't know. I mean, they're on a 13-game heater. They're going to lose. They're going to have a terrible losing streak at one point in the year, too. It's just if you can stop those losing streaks. You don't want to get them past three or four games. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying the Devils are falling playoff spot. So all the Devils fans that are going to be acting like I'm a hater, no, I'm not. I'm just saying they're not going to be at this pace all year.
They're not going to win 50 in a row, but yeah. I just think they're too solid.
I mean, they might. I mean,
this isn't like the Crosby days, you know, where like they're just disgusting and like, you know, I don't think they're like that or, you know, the Avalanche teams, you know, but they're good.
Let's talk about Shane Wright. Yeah. So what's going on with Shane Wright right now is Seattle is clearly manipulating the ability to send him to the AHL. So for anyone that doesn't know, he is an OHL player, and if they were to send him down, he can't go to the AHL. He has to go to the OHL. Issue is that Kingston, as a avid OHL watcher, Kingston is awful, and he's not going to get a Memorial Cup run, and I think that if he goes back, he probably wrecks the league. So I was listening to 32 Thoughts, Hockey Central. 32 Thoughts, and Elliot brought up this thing about how Shane Wright's development has been the absolute most devastating on a prospect that was this high end in ever, because his first year he got the exceptional stats, and then it's like COVID hit. He was told that he was going to play. He signed in the OHL. COVID hit, and the OHL didn't open up. WHL did for a little while. Obviously the Americans didn't. That's why the Americans dominated that draft. He comes back and it's a shortened season and all the COVID restrictions again, but he didn't have it. He had kind of an underwhelming season. And now he fell to Seattle, and Seattle was like, okay, let's try and get it going. And he has been the coach does not have faith in him. And that's got to be tough on him because obviously you saw him at the draft, like his bravado. He took pride in being first overall.
Yes.
And obviously he's always been a winner. And it's like, you get a guy like that, we're like, nah, dude, like, we don't have faith in you to right now currently. But he can't go back to the OHL because, again, the team is so bad. So what's happening now? Let's do this up. What Seattle has done is if you sit someone for five games, they've sat long enough where they can go on a conditioning stint. They can go down to the AHL and play a maximum of 5 games, which is big, which I didn't realize was a thing. And then at the end of the 5 games, they have to be called back up. They have to sit for 5 more and then they go back down. And they actually got kind of screwed because I believe McCann got hurt in what would have been, he sat for 4, McCann got hurt in the day of, and they had to throw Wright in, and that reset his clock. He missed 4 again, and now he misses 5, and they sent him down to Coachella, and he just scored tonight.
He just scored an hour ago, yeah.
Yeah. And now it works out where he'll play 5 in the AHL, come back for a game against Montreal, which I feel like Seattle might play him, and then the World Juniors start, and basically a month is off, right? What do you think that they should do with Wright, and do you think that this is like Kotkaniemi all over again, where it just seems like a total mismanagement of a prospect and potentially damaging for like ever? Let's start with you, Padre.
They can send him back after World Juniors, though, right? Back to to the junior team?
He can go back to the OHL at the thing, and it's all going to depend on, I'm assuming there's getting pressure from Seattle to get a trade in place.
Yeah, I think like Seattle's like giving them time, and they know they're going to send him to the World Juniors, and
I don't want him back in the OHL.
Yeah.
Let's just do the dogs.
I mean, I feel like development-wise, it might not be that bad. Because I know it sounds like crazy because like he should have been probably playing like right now, and that's not good development, but
he should be in the AHL.
You know, that's where yeah, for like sure, for sure.
Like, yeah.
But being able to like, you know, practice with the NHLers, live the life, see what it's like, and then get it taken away from you, and then you gotta go back down and then realize like I was there. You know what I mean? I wanna be back there, and maybe next year like he comes up and you know, there's more of like a role for him because clearly, like right now, they're in more of like a we need to win because we last year was not good. I mean, I just see him taking like Wenberg's spot ultimately, you know, down the road because I think it'll be him and Beniers down the middle eventually.
For sure. And I think that's what they
hit. Yeah, that's what they hope. And I just feel like this might not be the worst thing, you know, go down the AHL 5 games. By that time, like you listen to the same thing I did, and they'll play against Montreal. And then he'll go to the World Juniors, and then after that, you know, whatever. So it might be like a lost year in terms of, you know, playing so much, but I think it'll be like maybe good for him ultimately in the end.
I hope so, man. Like it sucks to see like again, I don't think we're gonna see like the impact of what COVID did to like obviously the world, but like we're a hockey podcast, so we're talking about hockey. Like that year, again, someone who lives in a city with an OHL team, and I go to every single game, and like the loss of a season, the OHL, like the CHL, the major junior leagues, they have like a 3-year window, and it's so fat. Like you get a player, your team is bad, you get a high pick, you get someone that is going to be drafted higher, looks like an NHLer, you have them for like 2 seasons, and you're in charge of their development, and then they're drafted. And more often than not, they get one more year in the OHL. But man, losing basically a season and a half of development where you're not playing, like he was not playing, where is just devastating to like development of a career, right? And you saw his last OHL season, why he fell to 4 is that he was not dominant in the OHL. Like he was great, and I believe it was over a point per game, but it was not like exceptional status, you know, what it looked like he was going to be. It looked like he was going to be like John Tavares kind of situation. But yeah, that'll be interesting to see. I'm selfishly as an OHL fan, like I'm glad that that clause is in place where like they have to go back to the OHL or the CHL, because that protects those leagues. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's gonna be crazy. I'm a huge Wright fan. After meeting him at the draft and seeing his look on his face, like that he didn't go one, like he wanted to go one for to go one. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that, man. There's nothing wrong with that. You want to be a winner. And like that, there's like I think in sports, like that's something that should be, desired. So we'll have to see. All right, let's bring up the nostalgia talk. Yeah. Cass, I'm gonna let you take this away because someone disagreed. I believe in my Discord too.
Yeah. So
I'm gonna set the table. So then you can go. Basically, in the last episode, we talked about how me and Padre both said that we think the NHL has changed more than any other sport. In terms of, you know, how it's played and those big rivalries and everything like that, and other side. So, Kessler, you go.
Yeah, and I disagreed, and I think we were at the tail end of the podcast where I'm like, oh, we can go for an hour on this thing. Because you said, Sleeves, you know, the NHL has changed more than any other sport. You know, you're looking at, like, rivalries and stuff, like what we used to watch as kids. And I think there was a heavy nostalgia bias. And I also think, like, the only other sport I really watch is the NFL. And I think that's changed like a ton as well, right? Like, just because
I don't know.
Way higher scoring league now. There's so many more rules, not just against like hitting the quarterbacks, but like defensive pass interference, right? Like whenever Ty Law and the Patriots, whenever they dominated, you remember that, like they had to put in like new roles because they were so good. And I also have to think like it's just back to the nostalgia thing. Like my favorite era of hockey is like the late 90s, early 2000s. I think we're all that way because we're that age. Some of our favorite players that we've ever watched were around there. But I think whenever we speak like 20 years from now, there's going to be a lot of people that are 30 then. And they'll be like, well, we got to watch like McDavid, Crosby, Ovechkin, et cetera, like all at the same time, Kale McCarr. And I think no matter what, it's always going to be like that. Like whatever era you grew up watching was the best one. And that's how it is for a lot of things.
I find that I'm way more invested into hockey. Well, first of all, it's my job.
Yeah.
And I just don't feel like the same. I don't know. I guess this is like nostalgia is definitely a part of it. I guess like because you just don't have any responsibility, so all you know is like all good times, basically. So maybe it has something to do with what's going on as well. Hey, Padre, like. Do you think that like the era that we watched, the early 2000s and whatnot, and that like, do you think that's nostalgia, or do you think that like that style of hockey was just better? And you won a cup, so it's like
I don't know. Part of the reason why I liked the way we won the cup was because we did play that style of hockey. We banged, we hit, we fought a little bit. The way it was big, strong, mean team. You know, I miss the physicality a lot. You know, there's not a ton of night-to-night basis in the NHL regular season. Fights are so far down. Like I said before in the podcast, I understand fighting's with CTE. I know all the stuff. I get it. I'm just saying, like, there's just not the hatred there used to be. When there's something, like look how, like, I used this few weeks ago, the example, just, like Matthew Tkachuk is, like, the bar in the league to, like, set, like, a fire almost. You know, like, between him and Doughty and him and Cassian and... You know, now he's going to probably do something to the Lightning in the next few, you know what I mean? It's always something with Tkachuk or Brendan Lemieux, and he bit Brady's finger. It's just, you know, there's not, you know, Marchand when he licked, you know, his face.
That was,
you know,
yeah, that's funny. I like that stuff.
But that's the kind of stuff that's just like, oh my gosh. And I feel like that kind of stuff happened all the time back in the day. Not the licking of the face, but, you know, the stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Going to all those Sabres games, like, in their, like, greatest, probably the 2005 Sabres has got to be the best Sabre team ever.
Yeah.
Even though they went to the Cup, like, it's got to be their best team. Even, like, that era, like, those three couple years, the year before the lockout and after the lockout, man, I remember the brawl. Like, dude, when was the last time we saw? For anyone that is not old enough, if you were born after 2000, I need you guys to go and watch on YouTube. It'll look awful, which makes me sad, too. It makes me feel really, really old. Because when you go watch old hockey highlights, man, even if it's, like, back in, like, 2004, you would think that, like, oh, it's not that bad. It is. Like, VHS. Ottawa and Philly. Two teams. It was always the Leafs, Philly, and Ottawa in a circle. One of them would just knock each other out every single year. And it was in, I don't even think it was a playoff game. And I believe it's the record for the most penalty minutes of all time. And I can remember watching this on SportsCenter like the next day. It is one of the funniest videos you will watch as a hockey fan because it is a line brawl and then a line brawl and then another one. And then when it's Martin Havlat and like, I think Spezza was still there and you're like, oh, there's no way. And then they drop the gloves,
Donald
and Brashear, the announcers.
Yeah. Oh my god,
dude! The announcers are laughing because they're like, "Oh, it's over!" Like, there's five guys left on the bench, and it's like every single player on both teams was so committed to not giving an inch.
It's
crazy. That is not ever going to happen.
It's crazy because like Sami Kapanen's in there, and like that's a guy that would never fight. I just pulled that video up.
It is such a hilarious video to watch because once you get to like the fourth line brawl, you're like, there's no way it could happen again. There's no way. There's like three guys on the bench and they drop the puck and immediately all of them are just like, let's go, and like ding ding ding. And I remember watching you know, Ray Emery fight Andrew Peters, and Marty, like, he absolutely broke Marty Baron, who still was like, I'm gonna go fight a professional boxer, because like Ray Emery was like, I'm pretty sure he was an amateur boxer. Marty Baron is not a fighter. He's got his bell rung, and Andrew Peters went and fought him, and it was like line brawls. And I don't think that's great for the health of the players, 100%. And I don't think that should happen every game. But do you think we'll ever see anything like that again?
No, we won't. But I think, like, so it's not the same thing. But back to that, though, like, whenever we look at that time period, one of the reasons that, like, you know, obviously Lemieux had health issues. But during that time, you had some, like, not skilled players that were making it in the league just because they were holding and just playing the most boring style of hockey. And those types of players, we saw it right after the lockout. Darian Hatcher, you know, signed to the Flyers. Mm-hmm. That guy couldn't hang in the new NHL. You can't hide those bad players anymore. You know, like, you just can't. Like, you're not going to dress a fighter and play him 8 minutes because they're just going to, like, crush your team. We were just talking about the, you know.
And it's so funny because, like, what ends up happening is the guys that can do that and have that snarl are, like, the most sought at, like, Kachuk.
Dude, Kachuk is, like, the ultimate enigma, like, because he's amazing and he does that, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, he's...
And, like, Tom Wilson was, like, teams would have paid $7 million a year for him because he could pot 30 or 40 points, but he would, you know, obviously his hits were brutal, and he was easily one of the dirtiest players. But, like, he would fight anyone, or for the most part, and cause, like, a ruckus, and teams desperately wanted that. And I think that you're right, like, because the game has gone so skilled, and maybe it's this might be the thing, because we're old, that what people will now remember, like, you basically have to have a score is, like, your punch in the head or your fight, like, you know what I mean, like a goal, like, you know what I mean. And I equate that to, like, you know, like baseball. Like, when a team hits a home run, and, like, they're not going to fight, right? But, like, like Batista's home run. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a answer back via offense. And I guess, like, that's just what it is in hockey now. And I guess, yeah, maybe because we got to see what happens when it's the only sport. We said this last week. It's the only sport where you can legally answer the bell.
Yep.
And these guys are just, you know what I mean? There's a lot of them that have so much pride and are willing to just throw bombs at each other to prove it, right? And, you know, again, I don't think it's where I want to see a line brawl every single time. But watching the Leafs, I think every Leafs fan listening, one of the most frustrating things that you've got to feel about the team over the last 5 years is not the fact that you don't have talent. This is probably the most talented players that will ever play for the Toronto Maple Leafs. No one wants to beat someone up if they're losing.
Yeah.
You know? Like, in the playoffs, what used to happen was you would lose, but at the last 5 minutes, you were making sure that they were getting a piece. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it was guaranteed that they were getting a piece no matter what, because the next game, you're going to make sure that they remember, and there is none of that. And that's the tough part. I think, like, that's the part that I think was – because, man, yeah, you as a sports fan, you love your team, and you want to hate someone else, right? Yeah. And I just feel like there isn't a lot of hate. Like, as a Penguins fan – is there a team that you
There's not a team I hate right now. And I think another thing that plays into this, it's not even, like, sports related, I guess, is that, like, back then your way of consuming media was, like, watching SportsCenter, right?
Yeah.
And, like, moments lived for a little bit. Like, you would talk about them at work the next day or at school or something. But, like, with the internet now, it's just, like, everything happens and it's forgotten in the next, like, in 20 minutes. Back then it wasn't. Like, there wasn't that much shit going on. Like, they're just...
It was like SportsCenter. Yeah,
yeah, right. Like, there wasn't much going on, so it's like moments live. And that's what that, like, music and movies and stuff like that. Like, a big movie came out, and, like, people talked about it all summer, right? But, like, that doesn't, you know, everything's forgotten in a day or two just because we're in that information age.
Yeah, the closest thing, I think, like I said, is the recently, like, brawl-wise was the Kachuk thing was starting, but then, like, Mike Smith and Cam Talbot finally, you know what I mean? There was a goalie fight. And but anytime there's a goalie fight, because me being a goalie, I just think it's so sick. And, you know, that was, like, my favorite thing when I was a kid. Dude, like, oh my gosh, goalie fight. You know, because, like, the last one before that, God, I mean.
Do you remember the Brent Johnson one?
Yeah, when he pumped DiPietro in the eye.
That was.
If you've never seen the, if you haven't watched the documentary on the, I mean, I was too young, just too young to really appreciate the Avalanche and the Red Wings.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That is
Osgood
and Watt.
I actually think that was too far because dudes were trying to end people's lives.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, that was two teams that hate every single human being on both those rosters, hated each other with a passion. Like, it was almost scary. Like, I feel like that is the complete other end of the spectrum. But, like, yeah, like, dude, the goalie, the Vernon and Waugh, man, and Vernon is not a big dude.
Oh.
And they just...
Same with Osgood. He wasn't big either.
I don't think any rivalry in hockey would ever top that one again, just because of how things are now.
Yeah,
I mean, what's crazy is Vegas and the Sharks.
At one point, yeah, they were pretty
oddly enough is probably the best in the last. I feel like Washington and Pittsburgh because of how Washington kept getting knocked out. But once they won a cup, it was like,
yeah,
they exercised their demons. Like it was over. Like, you know what I mean? Like
there was so many outside things though too with that, like Red Wings and Avalanche one, like the Claude Lemieux on like Chris Draper, right? Like
that was it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, there was that, and like. I don't see anything in this day and age in sports. Like everybody's friends, you know, like they that's play the golf problem. And
yeah, you know, it's all too friendly.
It's a business.
And they were friends back then, but like the access to each other was not.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like you weren't able to hang out with like
social media, follow each other, DM each other.
Yeah.
You know?
Like Logan and Doughty are like best friends. You know, and as a Sharks fan, like no Sharks fans, like dude, like that kind of is like.
I think
right, but like that's just.
I was thinking of this like I was thinking of this a few seconds ago. It's like the next goalie fight. I don't know who it's going to be between, but I think it's Binner. I think Binner's going to be. He's been asking for it for years.
He's been asking for
it, and it's you know he wants it. Now, he's like the because I
Dubnyk trying to think tried.
Of oh yeah, he's tried.
Dubnyk tried. He was. That's what I was when you said what's the last goalie fight, and I was like, man, I think the Sharks had one. But it was Binner. I think he knocked Carlson over at the intermission.
No, he like, faked. He fake punched Carlson.
That was it. He fake punched.
Fake punched him.
Skated by and
he had to get off the long way because the shark or the visitors come out in the corner at the Sharks arena.
Yep.
And Dubnyk skated over to him, and Binner was getting grabbed by the ref as he was getting thrown off. And he tried to like they shoved each other, kind of like when the ref was like in between them, so that nothing happened. But it's just like I would.
Dubnyk's a scary dude.
I mean, I wouldn't fight him. He's 6'6". There's no chance.
I want to see Binner fight just because I think like I think he'd like surprise some people. Just but I think he. Like, I mean, I've seen him fight in the AHL. I mean, he was fine. So it's like, I don't know. But I just don't know who he'd fight. Because you're kind of losing those old school, like Mike Smith. Does that surprise you that Mike Smith was going to fight Cam Talbot? No.
No, he's insane.
You know?
Mike Smith is
you need a guy that's fires cross. You know what I mean? You need a guy that's like that. And I think Binner's that guy.
Gets
fired up.
What's a rivalry that you can see brewing that could be good? I'm trying to think of one with the Devils.
Florida and Tampa.
I think, dude, you know what's funny? The year that, not the last one where they got swept, dude, Florida was just a team that was just like, we're not losing.
Yeah.
But Tampa was so good that you're the one, the last cup.
Florida and Tampa and in Calgary and Edmonton. Those are the four teams in our sport right now.
With Kadri now, like, yeah, there's no way this sucks because I really don't like the human being in Evander Kane.
Yeah,
but his injury is awful. That I don't wish that upon anyone. But could you imagine a playoff series of Evander Kane and Nazem Kadri?
Oh yeah,
like oh my god, like that's the stuff, right? Because like that's two dudes. If one of them is gonna lose, one of them is gonna go and make it so that the next game they remember.
What if somebody gets Ryan Reeves? What if Calgary gets him?
I think
he's on the outs in New York, and you know Ryan Reeves.
I was gonna say like
he'll start it up.
Yeah, like, and like that's his job, but people just know. And not to mention, it's funny because he's so. I remember the thing about Evander. Like, say what you want about Evander Kane and like the person, but and all the Ryan Reeves stuff. I don't know many human beings in the NHL that would actually be okay with fighting him, and he did it a couple times. So I'll never take like when he was a Shark. Like he was probably my favorite player, and you know for all the John back and forth, and Reeves got in his head too much because he's too talented of a player. Like the Sharks needed him. But man, he answered the bell. Like he did it himself. Like he didn't need someone else to go fight him. But the Giordano thing, like this is the last thing we'll touch on this. Like, but the Toronto is like, Matthews does not show emotion. And there's a point at which that's good. You don't get flustered or whatever. But dude, like how is someone who's that good at something not get so mad that at one point you just gotta. You know?
Yeah,
it's that's not weird.
Like he's small. He's a big man. Like he could probably do some damage. And it's like Giordano has to come in and tackle. I can't remember who it was. It's gonna drive me nuts. But like that's the thing. Like that, you know, I would love a Montreal and the Montreal Toronto rivalry. But
and
like, the
I
fans
think it,
make that.
I think it does a lot for your team too whenever you see your captain do that. Like remember the Guillaume Le Cavalier one. Like whenever you see that happen and it's your captain doing that, like
that's why
it fires up the whole team.
Yeah, and
he, in my opinion, is the all-time, one of the all-time best captains ever in the NHL.
I get so sick of seeing, like, Leafs fans be like, well, we don't want him to hurt his hand. We don't want him to hurt his... Like, okay, great.
True.
Go watch Sidney Crosby. Cats are seeing Sidney Crosby drop the gloves multiple times in his career. And you know what?
I will say, though, in defense of the other person, Crosby would always do the, doesn't even let the other guy get a chance to drop the gloves. He just attacks him.
Yeah, he would do the immediate run at and then kind of, like, hold.
I don't care.
McKinnon?
He's the captain. Same. He does that.
McKinnon does it sometimes. I mean, like, you know, like those guys are strong as an ox. Those guys are strong as an ox.
Is kind of nasty.
Oh yeah, but that's part of his game too. Like Crosby though, Crosby's so strong. McKinnon is so strong. I mean, like you guys said, like you said, Matthews. He is like Marner. I don't expect him to fight. Like that's fine. He's so little. He's like a little. He's like a little boy. But yeah,
I think this is the divide. It's the people that get angry when a clean hit happens. And someone goes and defends it. And I can guarantee you, me and Padre are on the same line here. And I don't know where you are, Kesso. But if some dude, absolutely, like if Logan goes down through the neutral zone with his head down and Couture gets absolutely crushed, not a penalty, clean hit. If someone does not get up and start throwing rights immediately...
There's a problem. I agree with that. No, I'm on your side with that. Like that's just the thing. You defend those players. Like it is what it is.
People are like, dude, that's not even hit. Now he's got to fight someone. Like, man, the human element, bro. You need that. Like if that happens on the Leafs, they just wave Simmons. Like he's gone. Like you know, what I mean, like who's left? Like you know, and like that's. I think that's a big problem. And I think that's where the line is drawn with nostalgia of what we used to watch when we were kids, where I get that. Like if your team hits someone hard and it is clean. Now you got to deal with a fight. Probably annoying, yes. Right. But man, just think if your boy got munched and you like if you see it and you can legally do something.
I think there's a time though where it goes too far. The Penguins like ran into this for a few years where it's like they had that one infamous series against the Flyers. I think they lost like 6 games, but there was like a ton of penalty minutes. Like they were getting destroyed, and it's like Malkin and Crosby were taking penalties. Like they were just getting into like not brawls, but like scuffles every single time. Right. And I think they're in their own head a little bit too much. But you have to defend your star players.
I'll tell you this, man. The playoff series in which Austin Matthews drops the mitts, that's the series they win.
He has to do it. One or game two, just do it.
Game one or two, dude. Like, dude, I remember like one of my favorite fights as a Sharks fan. The Sharks were getting blasted by Anaheim, and it was the best Sharks team that they've ever had in 2009. And game five, the first thing at the opening draw is Thornton, who was not really a fighter in his time, that dropped him immediately with Getzlaf. There was nothing said prior. It was just like, we're going to fight right now. And like, that's how the game started. Like, I don't know. It's just, that's what I think. That's, you know, and guys, if you're watching this on YouTube, please let us know if you agree or disagree. But, you know, it is definitely sound. I think that I don't know.
It's nostalgia, dude. It's the same thing with music. What your favorite music's what you grew up with, man.
You think that's the best. Yeah. You're right on that. Because, yeah, watching McDavid, dude, watching McDavid, there's time. That goal he scored against, I think it was Carolina, where he just cut through everyone. It's like, that's art.
Yeah.
Like, that is, you know what I mean? Like, that's stuff that you won't see. And you wouldn't have seen that back then. So I can
see. Yeah, dude, we're going to be like 5 years from now. And it's like it's, dude, it's like Tortorella watching like Zegras. Like, you know, what is he doing out there? Skilling it up. Like, let's avoid being those people.
Yeah. To be fair, I love that kind of stuff. I think it'll get out of hand. Like, I think it'll be where someone's just got to get destroyed. Like, you just got to hit someone. Last thing before we go, happened in the OHL. One of my favorite ice dogs ever. He was a viewer of mine, Mason Howard. He would smash everyone. He couldn't skate, couldn't shoot, but anytime that someone entered the blue line, he would hit. They got a Michigan scored on them, and he went and absolutely dummied the kid. And in the replay, it shows this kid scoring the Michigan. He scores it. He goes and puts his hand up, and Mason put him through the boards. And it's like, that's what it takes. It's going to take someone where Zegras goes and does it with his head down and gets crushed before that is like kind of stopped. But anyways, this was, man, we go on. I think rants are our best thing.
So yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, we do once a week, right, for like real hockey. Mm-hmm. We can't capture all the news, but I think we enjoy talking about it in general.
Go to the topic.
Yeah.
Give us a topic you want us to discuss. I think that's what I want. Yeah, that's your homework, chat. You know, viewers that you're listening, let us know on Twitter, or my Discord, or in the comment section. Give us a topic in hockey that you want us to discuss. Because to be fair, I mean, we all agreed on the fighting for the most part. But I bet you we disagree on quite a bit. I mean, we do. So
probably, yeah.
All right, guys, that is going to do it for episode 57. We will see you guys next time where we'll go over the GWC. I think that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the GWC.
Big episode coming up here for all the gamers out there. So the comments that we will have a gaming podcast. Don't worry.
I don't know how much more gaming NHL Hunt content you guys can consume on my channel, but I love it. I love the passion. All right, guys, we'll see you next time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.